Building on Foundations for Eternal Life. Chapter 18, The Flesh. 1 Corinthians 3, 1-3, W.E.B. Brothers, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual, but as to fleshly, as to babies in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for you weren't yet ready. Indeed, not even now are you ready, for you are still fleshly. For insofar as there is jealousy, strife, and factions among you, aren't you fleshly, and don't you walk in the ways of men? End of verses. The people in Corinth were blessed with many spiritual gifts, per 1 Corinthians 1, 4-8, but that didn't make them spiritual. They were still fleshly, per 1 Corinthians 3, 1-3 above. Note the characteristics listed as evidence of being fleshly: jealousy, strife, and factions. However, before we go further, we need to better clarify different ways the word flesh may be used. The word flesh, New Testament Greek sarx, has somewhat different meanings in different contexts. Sometimes Scripture uses flesh to refer to all of mankind. Flesh can also refer to our natural bodies, especially the soft tissues. In the New Testament, however, flesh is often used to refer to all that we are apart from new life in Christ. That is the meaning and usage we focus on in this chapter. Jesus spoke of flesh in this sense when he spoke to Nicodemus about the need to be born again. John 3:6 W.E.B. Most certainly I tell you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter into God's kingdom. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. End of verse. All that we are prior to being born of the Spirit is flesh. While being born of the Spirit imparts new life to our spirit, many aspects of the flesh remain. The desires and sins of the flesh are generally associated with our body and soul. These include physical desires as well as emotional desires and selfish tendencies, such as jealousy, strife, and factions, per 1 Corinthians 3:3 above. Paul gives us a partial list of the works of the flesh. In Galatians 5, 19-21 ESV, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." End of verses. As Paul said, these kinds of sins are evident. Some translations use the word obvious here, the point being that these kinds of sins aren't usually difficult to discern. However, there are other problems associated with our flesh which are not so obvious, which I'll refer to as the righteousness of the flesh. These problems generally involve spiritual pride and selfishness associated with religious activities and status. Paul wrote about the problem of having confidence in the flesh in his letter to the believers at Philippi in Philippians 3, 2-6 ESV. "Look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." End of verses. Here we see that religious background and religious rituals and activities can easily be in the realm of the flesh. Prior to following Jesus, Paul had a lot of religious success in life from a religious point of view. He turned away from all that to follow Christ. He goes on to clarify that he has rejected trying to be righteous in his own strength by following the law in his own strength, and instead values righteousness from God, which comes through faith in Christ. Philippians 3, 7-9 ESV. "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." End of verses. These verses hint at the problem of religious legalism, which will be discussed later in the context of Paul's letter to the Galatians, a few paragraphs below. Paul also speaks of religious people who have a fleshly mind associated with wrong spiritual perspectives. Colossians 2:18-19 WEB, "Let no one rob you of your prize by a voluntary humility and worship of the angels, dwelling in the things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding firmly to the head, from whom all the body, being supplied and knit together through the joints and ligaments, grows with God's growth." End of verses. Peter warns of false teachers among God's people who entice people away from truth by sensual passions of the flesh. 2 Peter 2:17-18 ESV, "These are waterless springs and mists driven by a storm. For them the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. For, speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error." End of verses. Finally, the righteousness of the flesh frequently is associated with religious legalism. Our flesh can prefer self-righteousness associated with following religious rules rather than righteousness from God through faith in Jesus. We've already seen Paul mention this in his letter to the Philippians, in Philippians 3:9 ESV, "Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." End of verse. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, he deals with the problem of believers turning from salvation through faith in Christ to religious legalism. After being saved through faith in Jesus, they had started trusting in the law of Moses and circumcision rather than simply continuing with faith in Jesus. Galatians 3:1-5 WEB, "Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you not to obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was openly portrayed among you as crucified? I just want to learn this from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now completed in the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if it is indeed in vain? He, therefore, who supplies the Spirit to you and does miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith?" End of verses. Galatians 6:12-3 WEB, "As many as desire to make a good impression in the flesh compel you to be circumcised, just so they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even they who receive circumcision don't keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh." End of verses. So we see that the flesh can be involved in more than just obviously sinful works of the flesh. It can also be active in the righteousness of the flesh, things like religious activities, religious pride, and religious legalism. We should understand and turn away from both the unrighteousness of the flesh and the self-righteousness of the flesh. For further reflection, are there parts of your life that are still dominated by the old flesh rather than the new life of the Spirit?